Welcome to another Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, the last time we spoke, we talked about the controversies in the swimmings and the drugs. Now, I believe there's been a bit of a shock coming out of the Australian camp.
There has been, and we were talking about, obviously, the Australians taking a stance at the World Championships on drugs and not standing on podiums, etc., but one of our swimmers, the young girl Shayna Jack, has actually been now has her A and B sample were tested, and both were found to be positive to a particular drug, and so she was removed from the competition. And now, of course, that's all come out. So there's been this big issue. We were standing up for clean sport, but unfortunately, one of our athletes has been caught, and so now that will go through a process. But having both your A and B sample testing positive is not a good sign.
No, it's not. And the one word that comes to mind is karma, in the sense of us Aussies of standing up against it, and then one of our own. I mean, that's. I wonder if Mac knew about Shayna before he sort of made his protest.
I don't think so. And there's been lots, again, media frenzy about it, and you know, people having a go at Australian swimming and so on. But I think from Australian swimming's point of view, they've done the right thing. I mean, in this day and age, you do have to be very careful about allegations you might make and information you might release. And so they didn't release that information, even though they would have known, and they followed a protocol, which is what they need to do as a national organisation. So I think it's a bit unfair for the media to be having a go at them and calling for heads to roll, because they were just doing what they would have, following protocol that they're expected to follow. And now, of course, it has become part of mainstream media, and with all the stuff that went on, it just looks like it's a comedy of errors, isn't it? But I think it's just bad luck in the timing.
Oh, yeah, but honestly, Sean, you've got to sympathise with the media. They've got to find their story somewhere.
I don't know if this podcast counts as media. I don't think it does, and I don't sympathise with them at all. I think they're just trying to sell papers and get people to look at stuff. But I'm really worried about this one. This girl, and again, I guess time will tell, but the drug that was found in her system, I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, is ligandrol, which is a muscle-building substance. And interestingly, it's quite a new drug. It was banned only in 2015. And at that point, WADA said, look, it is banned. It is a drug that can be performance-enhancing. And at that point, had not even finished its clinical trials. And isn't that interesting that athletes are getting hold of drugs that are still in testing stage? And so that's a real concern. Now, of course, this young lady is claiming her innocence, and let's hope that she is. But I think we're going to hear a lot more about this. But she's saying it might have been in a substance that she took inadvertently. And this is a warning for young athletes. I mean, young athletes are educated on this process.
Yes.
And if you're going to take health supplements, ASADA and WADA make it very clear, you need to know what's in them. Now, the problem with some of these supplements is if you're buying things from Australian producers, we know that the standards of what goes in them is much higher. But if you're buying things online, some of their countries do not have the same standards, and you can't guarantee what's in them. And my advice to young athletes would be steer clear of supplements unless they actually have been tested correctly. And there are some that have been, and they do get tested on a regular basis so that their producers can clearly claim that there are no banned substances. But in the end, if you put something in your body,
you've got to be accountable.
Yep, and everyone knows that. And we've got to get away from this idea that I'm not responsible, because you are. And I know very well that all athletes get very good education about this process. And so, I hope that what this girl's saying is true, and that she is innocent, and that comes to... We'll find it out in the long term.
Well, just out of interest, you mentioned the beat-up by the media, but when you talk about the media and the beat-up, here in Adelaide we're pretty good. We don't say too much about the performance of the Adelaide Crows or Port Power, do we?
Oh, my goodness. The only thing in sport this week in Adelaide that is bigger than this story is the Crows and Port Power, and whether we should sack everybody involved with those clubs. And, of course, there is, after the weekend of games where both Port and Adelaide lost. Adelaide got beaten by Carlton, and GWS took Port by just 1 point. And wow. Interesting, let's give kudos to Jackson Hatley for kicking that goal right in front and probably sealing the deal. So,
Of course, Jackson was a guest on this show about a year ago, wasn't he?
He was a guest before he became famous and drafted, and, of course, good Gawler boy and Trinity boy. And so
so can we take some of the credit for Port's downfall?
Well, let's do that. Why not? But my concern is, like, Adelaide this year, they did well in the preseason, didn't they?
Oh, everyone does well in the
and
preseason.
And all of a sudden, they're hot favourites. Everyone's picking them to be top one, top two, whatever. And we talked about this last year on the show. We looked at the stats behind all these predictions made in the AFL, and most of them turn out to be incorrect. So I feel sorry for these guys because they get all sort of put up there on a pedestal, which happens in Adelaide, especially our two AFL clubs, because we do love them or hate them. Depends who you are.
Speak for yourself.
Well, we love or hate one of them.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, they get judged on those performances. And the reality for Adelaide, they've sort of struggled all year, really, haven't they? I mean, they're in the eight. They've probably been in the eight all year. And looking at their last four rounds, they've got to play St Kilda this week.
Yep.
They've got West Coast, Collingwood and Bulldogs.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, while you're talking about that and you're looking at the table, you know, you got Geelong and West Coast and Brisbane and Richmond are a team that's really hot at the moment. So those four teams are really standout. Then you got the Giants and Collingwood on 44 with Essendon on 44. Then LA got 36. But there's no breathing space because even though they're eighth, you got the Bulldogs also on 36 points, so percentage behind. And then one game in arrears of them is Port, Hawks, Fremantle and Saints. Another game to North, another game to Sydney and Carlton. So it's just a bottleneck.
This is what AFL have been working at for years now, trying to get a nice, even competition. And that's exactly what they've got. I mean, even on the weekend, Gold Coast led Essendon for most of the game. Essendon luckily got away with it in the end. But Gold Coast are way down the bottom, and Essendon are really, a top eight team, and they have shown that. But the bottom teams are, and Carlton again beat Adelaide. So there is a close competition. But you'd think it's really the only thing left of the eight is the eighth position. It looks like the other positions are, it's be hard for those teams to drop out. So really you're looking at Adelaide holding that position. The Bulldogs have got Brisbane, who are on fire. So that's going to be a tough game. They've got Essendon, which they could win. They've got GWS. Now, GWS won on the weekend, but they haven't been convincing over the last three. And then they play Adelaide in the last. So that last game, Adelaide Bulldogs, could be
a semi-final.
Yeah, could be the game that decides. But then you look at, who out of the others would you put your money on? Hawthorne, Port, St Kilda and Frio. Frio have been struggling. They've got Geelong. So you'd think that's going to be a tough game for them. They've got St Kilda, which again is going to be important for both of those teams, Essendon and Port Adelaide. So there's some really interesting games coming up because it looks like it could be up to the last sort of round to decide who makes that eighth position. But you'd have to think at the moment, Adelaide, they're playing St Kilda, which really you'd expect them to win, wouldn't you?
Well, I thought they're going to win the last two games.
Well, that's true. But St Kilda won the last two again.
New coach, yeah.
How can that happen? West Coast is going to be a tough game. Collingwood's going to be a tough game. And then Bulldogs the last game, as we said. So Adelaide have got a tough run home, but it's going to be up to them to obviously win it to stay in the eight.
Well, what I've seen, not that I follow it religiously, but what I've seen is the top four teams look like, you know, the grand finalists are going to come from those top four, Geelong, West Coast, Brisbane and Richmond. And the way it's sort of set up, I wouldn't be surprised if West Coast and Richmond play off for the premiership. That's the premiership teams from the last two seasons.
Brisbane's going to be Brisbane, is it like Brisbane, everyone said, oh, they've had an easy run. But they keep winning now.
Yeah, but they're not winning finals games yet. That's the big
test. But this thing I love the fact that they've gone from where they were to where they are now. And they're now equal one of the top teams. So, you'd think Richmond, to me, at the moment, seem to be the form side. And Geelong have struggled a bit. But Geelong, they had a big lead. And so they know they really can't drop
down. They're trying different things.
So are they training differently and preparing for finals? And we know, obviously, Geelong have a strong track record of finals.
Yeah, look, and you go over to the SNFL, it looks a lot more clear-cut in the SNFL. You've got a surprise package this year is Glenelg. They haven't played in the final for a number of years, and they beat Adelaide by 2 points on the weekend, which puts them two games clear at the top of the table with a healthy percentage advantage with three games left, and Glenelg still play North and West, the bottom two teams, in the next 2 weeks, although it gives me memories of a few years ago where Glenelg were fifth and Centrals were out of the top five. And Glenelg played the bottom two teams, which happened to be North and West, in the last two minor round games. Only had to win one of them to seal the spot. And Centrals were playing the topside Eagles in the last game. And Centrals won. And Glenelg lost the, you know, the two. So whether those ghosts are still in their head or not, but still, Glenelg sort of are looking pretty good. Adelaide have sort of fallen away recently. Sturt sort of come up and they're in the mix, but Sturt have got 20 points. Adelaide have got 21. Glenelg have got 25. The fourth team is Port with 20 points, so they're equal with Sturt, and they do play them sort of soon, second last round. Then there's Norwood make up the top five in eight with 18 points. So they're two games clear of the Eagles and South with three games left. So to me, it looks like the top five is sorted, but who's going to grab the double chance? I think the big question will be out of Sturt and Port.
So Sturt and Port to make the...
No, it's the top three get the double chance. So the second and third team playoff in the qualifying final and the fourth and fifth player knockout final. So my thinking is that the table will probably stay the same except the Sturt and Port game. Whoever win that will probably grab
the third spot.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
Okay. And so, what about, we haven't talked about the Brussels Gawler for a while. What's happening there?
Well,
the problem is, you made those predictions again.
Yeah.
But I've changed my phone, and the only thing that didn't come over is the memo, my memos that I kept. Yeah. So I don't have your prediction. I have to go back and listen.
Yeah, you have to listen. You have to listen. But look, it seems to be a two-horse race between Tanunda and Angaston. Both those teams have only lost one game each, and they're sitting in the top two spots. Newry are sort of up there third with 18, so they're the three clear teams. And this year with the top five, you've got Freeling on 12 points, 6 points behind Newry at three games with three games left. And then you've got South and Bossa on 10 points each, and then there's a gap to Central and Kapunda with six and Williston with four, remembering that Williston lost 4 points because of what happened last year with Josh Glenn going, with a salary cap. So they're sort of out of contention. I think Central and Kapunda are out of contention as well, especially because Central's have a bye in the last game. So it's out of South and Boston. South play Tanunda and Newry, two of the top three teams, and then Williston the last game. Boss have a bye, and then they play Central and Kapunda. So Boston seem to have the easier run, but who knows?
Well, we don't know, and that's the good thing about it, isn't it? And that's, like I say, people keep making these predictions, including us, and the teams don't seem to follow the pattern that we want them to follow. But I'll ask you, I mean, you're an experienced journalist and been involved in footy a long time, so what's your take on, like, what seems to happen now? And it seems that it gains traction in the media and then in the public with sacking of coaches, because it seems to me, you know, Yes, Port and Cleves are struggling, but there's certainly, and them being the only teams here in our AFL teams, they get a lot of media coverage. That can be great for them, but in this case, it can be really detrimental.
Well, look, the AFL, it's a business, right? It's not like it used to be in the SNFL back in the day where, you know, you got behind your team, it's part of your community, and you back it for whatever. The AFL is like McDonald's. Now, if McDonald's sales are down on hot apple pies, they have to change them and get something else. I mean, that's the reality of the AFL nowadays. So if everyone's calling for the sacking of the coaches or whatever, that's going to have an impact.
It seems, and so, because, like, let's, I mean, if Crows make the eight and stay in the eight and get into the finals and do okay, will it all be forgotten until next season? I mean, if Port don't make the eight, obviously that pressure, and, like, to be fair, they're probably going to, I mean, they might struggle. They've got West Coast, they've got Essendon, Essendon, Sydney, North Melbourne and Fremantle.
I think,
Who would you pick out of those? I mean, Essendon are unknown. I mean, Crows had easily over them at half-time, and then they came back second half and played very differently. Sydney, really, they could win that. North Melbourne, they have difficulty beating North Melbourne. Like, their record against North Melbourne is not good in Frio. So, really, maybe Port could beat Sydney, North and Frio.
Well, who knows?
They've got a reasonable run.
Who knows? I mean, but this year has been consistently inconsistent for Port. win, lose. They're all over the shop. So
neither team seem to be, and I'm they just don't seem to be achieving what they're capable of achieving on that regular basis.
I think one thing about Adelaide and about Don Pike is the reason that the supporters are so hot against him, in my opinion, is because not on this season's performance, but what happened in 2017 where he lost the grand final, the unlosable grand final where they lost to Richmond. I think that plays in the back of a lot of people's minds. And if Adelaide had won the flag last year or in contention this year, that wouldn't have risen its head so much. But because of the inconsistency this season, 2017 keeps coming back in people's minds.
But we keep being told that both Adelaide and Port are always like their premiership favourites. They're this, they're going to make the top four, and they don't. So is it just our expectations are incorrect?
No, you just want to sell newspapers, so you just hype it up a bit. That's just been the way of a one-paper town, unfortunately.
Okay.
Anyway, so ends another Carl Unlay Sports Show. We'll have to continue this at a later stage. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.